Today on The Dark Side, an Ohio man allegedly decapitates adoptive mother because the Holy Spirit told him she was the devil. Makes sense. Squatters dismembered dead woman in Las Vegas home and buried her when they moved in, according to the police. And seven questions remain after fugitive bones and notebook were found in the swamp after Gabby Petito's death. All that and more today.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of...
That indeed it is. Thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And if you like the show, you want to support it, check out our Patreon page. Go to the Patreon app or patreon.com and search Dark Side Of, or just go to darksidepod.com. Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh, we were just reminiscing before we chatted, started recording. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Some of these stories we'll cover today. Can you imagine that happening 20 years ago, 10 years ago? I would like to think that maybe there's just as unusual tomfoolery that does occur throughout the country and world. It's just there's a hell of a lot less outlets back 10, 15, 20 years ago to capture it.
I think the thing that's going on now is the fact that we can see other people's local news just like that. And if it's interesting, it spreads like wildfire. And the things that are interesting are usually really freaking dark. In the past, it just wouldn't spread because there wasn't the internet. There wasn't the outlets to spread it at the level that they have. But I would guess, like, if you were to, like, literally, you know, go through the microfilms of every city 20 years ago on a weekly basis, I mean, that'd be an impossible task to do. I think you'd find just as much crazy things going on, and they would spread, you know, if they had the opportunity to do it. I thought about doing a version of Dark Side where we simply go through old newspapers and cover old stories that occurred, you know, and just kind of dissect some of those, because I bet they'd be interesting. And many of them probably never got much press.
I'm going to say above 80% that if we go back to, say, 1986, there is someone in rural Ohio that had a best friend, platonic partner, that turned out to be a horse.
Probably.
And I think we talked about their great-grandson like a month ago who was living with the horse.
Yeah.
Probably a horse.
Yeah.
But great, 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 great granddad had a friend, a buddy. Now I do as well.
Yeah, I think you go back in time, you're going to find a lot of it. What would be interesting, too, is to find out or find the relatives of some of these people that are committing these bizarre crimes and take a deep dive into the parents and see what headlines they made in their day. Because I bet
my great granduncle slit the throat of his adopted mother because the Lord told me to. So, you know, I did.
Yeah, I think you're going to. That's what Pappy did. So I think it's what I should do, too. It's always the reasoning of many people. So, yeah, this our first one. I'm looking at his mugshot. He looks real reputable. Ohio man allegedly decapitates adoptive mother because the Holy Spirit told him she was the devil. He looks like the guy where, like, if you're at the convenience store, someone would point at the door and see the sign that says no shoes, no shirt, no service and go, you're missing one of those.
Great song.
And then he's like, oh, shit. And he goes back to his car and puts on said piece of...
Hold on. Let me go back to my Corolla and get some flip-flops.
Shit, I forgot those shoes again.
Shit!
Which is kind of amazing that we were ever in a time and place where... well, I guess we are in some areas still. Where that actually had to be pointed out.
Well, and the funny thing is, when you think about it, the age-old saying, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Meaning, you and I... and our listeners can go into the local Petromart pantsless.
That's true. That did not cover anything about pants.
It's not no shoes, no slacks, no shirt, no service.
And you'd think that would be the area that you'd want covered more than anything. It's almost implying like someone's going to have the decency to do that, but maybe not the other parts.
So
you got shoes, you got a shirt, and just no pants. And it's just, right. It's all hanging out right there. And you're like, ooh, look, Christmas ornaments. And you just hang them there and you walk around.
12 bucks on a four diesel. Oh, pardon me. Let me get my penis out of the way. And I'll get some Mentos.
Would it be discriminatory now to have that sign up? Would somebody go, well, they believe that they should just be wearing no shoes
or no shirt. Seriously, just stop.
It's how they identify as a shoeless, shirtless person.
And you're I don't identify with this flesh hanging off me anymore. I'm Raquel. I used to be Randy. So you shouldn't judge me as such.
I really wonder.
Ma'am, my 7-year-old son is staring at your ding dong. Could you go ahead and put a skirt on?
I believe I want to be free. And that's all that matters is what I want.
And in the background on her phone, his phone, its phone, their phone, it's the Lion King when he holds Simba up.
That's what plays.
And the guy behind the counter is just like, fuck, do you want your smokes or not? Just pay for your gas and please leave.
Let's all sing. No, can you feel the love happening tonight together?
Why did Maury Povich just roll up in a van?
Oh, the possibilities. Ohio man was arrested in West Virginia for allegedly killing his adoptive mother. Sawing her head off. Okay. And setting her on fire because he said the Holy Spirit told him she was the devil. The Marietta Times reports a Washington County Sheriff's Office deputies, the Grandview Township Fire Department detectives, and the state fire marshal responded to Diana Gore's home at 130 Cemetery Drive in New Matmoras around November 5th at approximately 6:20 p.m. for a report of a structure fire. According to WJW-TV Action News, Diane's sister, Stephanie Williams, came home and allegedly witnessed a suspect, Lionel Gore, covered in blood, running outside and yelling, "Get out of the way or I'll kill you next." Diane reportedly tried entering the home but was stopped by the flames. Lionel reportedly fled the scene by car. WJW reports Lionel's 6-year-old nephew told detectives he witnessed his uncle sawing Diane's neck with a knife before setting the residence on fire. The boy was able to escape the smoke by crawling out of the house, WJW reports. According to the Marietta Times, the boy said Lionel started using a smaller knife, but then switched to a larger one to decapitate his mother. Firefighters reportedly found the body in what is believed to be the home's master bedroom. The Marietta Times reports Lionel got into the car chase with the Wetzel County Sheriff's Office and struck two deputy vehicles. He was transported to Wetzel County Hospital in West Virginia. At the hospital, Lionel reportedly told detectives that he was adopted and that Diane wasn't his mother. Citing an affidavit, the Marietta Times says Lionel told investigators, "I cut her head off and set her on fire." He reportedly said that the Holy Spirit told him to commit the crime because she was the devil. Lionel was booked into the Wetzel County Jail on charges of resulting from the car chase. The Marietta Times says Grandview firefighters were able to find Diane's decapitated body in a bedroom, and her head was reportedly lying beside her torso. Washington County prosecutors Nicole Coyle told the Marietta Times he's likely looking at murder, arson, and child endangerment charges. According to the Marietta Times, Chief Deputy Mark Warden said a preliminary report is out on Lyle. While in Wetzel County, he reportedly broke into a house and kidnapped a girl. Oh, there you go. That's from True Crime Daily. Wow. And now we're going to kind of cart him around for the rest of his life and feed him and just, you know, treat him like a disturbed animal, I guess. Why? It's like, what's the point? So there you go. This is
resourceful fella. Resourceful yeah. fella. How many times do you find yourself using a pair of scissors to cut something open? You don't usually ever stop to get a higher grade, higher level of scissors to take care of it. You just finagle through the scissors that you randomly haven't used in like a decade. This fella, very resourceful. Knife isn't big enough to cut the jugular or the I'm part of the anatomy to have the head entirely come off.
Whatever you got to do, yeah.
Gets a higher duty knife, gets the job done.
So you really want to go for the miracle blade, from the old infomercials, because those things could cut through like bricks and pipes.
Necks.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of a weird moment in the infomercial. We're like, look, it can cut through this shoe. It can cut through this steel pipe. And it can cut through your adoptive mother's neck bone. And
Jesus.
And then they put it up there on the table and it's like a decapitated head and they start sawing. And then they just take the head by the hair and then they drop it down that little chute where they put the tomatoes.
It's like, and the decapitated head at the end of it, the mouth moves and it says, that number again.
But it also said, but wait, there's more. That was also the other part. Then they go into, you get juicers for free. It's like, ooh, little plastic juicers. You can put them into an orange and squeeze it and you get fresh orange juice right after you decapitated.
Why is the head in another room? Like they found the decapitated adopted mother.
No, it was next to her torso. It was in the same room.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't put it up on the mantle or anything like that and try to make her talk again.
As a perhaps mental licensed counselor or therapist, how do you start that conversation with the son who saw it happening?
So, what's going on?
Okay. Oh, boy. Let's undress this one.
What's going on? Having a good day? What do you do in that? I mean, this is, again, one of those cases where you hope the words drugs were involved. Because if there wasn't drugs involved in this line of thinking, that's just even more disturbing. Because he's then, putting these ideas together himself. And obviously there's some sort of mental illness going on that he's deciding this was a great idea. But I'm sorry, I don't care what you have or what's going on. If you've done this, I'm sorry. It's game over. It's just game over.
And quite honestly, as boring as it is, sometimes the saying of people will tell you who helps to be able to say it. People will tell you who they are. Listen.
Yeah.
Maybe there's no drugs. Maybe there's no bourbon. Maybe someone was having a bad day. And obviously the term, relatively speaking, what is a big deal for one, not so much another. And for this gentleman, whatever thoughts and such he was having, it's terribly tragic. But we all too often try to find a reason why this occurred. Oh, they were overdosing or this or that or the other. They were high or they were intoxicated. Maybe they were just a very troubled individual.
Yeah.
And it happened. And all we can do moving forward in helping those affected is to be as supportive as humanly possible to allow them to hopefully get through it.
Yeah.
But that's boring. And that's, well, fuck, he was making his own meth in his basement with his toaster and ShamWow. And then he mixed it with OxyClean. Well, that's why he did it.
I just, there's so many, again, this is kind of what we're talking about earlier, where what were these things going on 20 years ago to this level of, let's dismember people? Because the next story is another dismembering story, too. Or is it picking up steam? Are people like, well, I heard about that story where they dismembered the person. Maybe that's how I should handle this. I don't know how one could. That to me is just, I don't know. I mean, I used to squirm when I was watching cable television and there was like the surgery channel that used to be on and you have to like switch flip through it. And like you get that 0.05 seconds of someone being cut open. I hated that. There's no way in hell I don't know how one can handle doing such a thing and like being okay with it, no matter what your state, no matter like, oh shit, I got to hide this body. I don't think I could, I think I would pass out. I couldn't handle
Is that still to this day not a fan of that?
I mean, I can handle blood, but I'm not good at handling like organs, organs exposed and bones hanging like that. No, like I can handle like a basic, you know, you skinned your knee. No big deal. We can fix that.
But, look, Tony, here's a lung.
Yeah, no. No, that would make me No, I can't do it. And the idea of like sitting there like, well, let's chop the arm off and then do this and that. And like, what the fuck?
Hurry up. They're still alive.
Yeah, I can't do that. According to the I-Team from 8 News Now, Las Vegas, they've discovered this story. Squatters dismember and bury Las Vegas woman and then live in her home where she had died alone years earlier. The 82-year-old likely died in a home from natural causes in 2018, police suspect. So they didn't kill her, but they wanted to squat in her house. So what's the next logical thing to do? Well, don't tell anybody that she's dead, but if we cut her up a little bit and bury her in the back, we got a house. A woman found buried in her backyard this spring was a victim of squatters who dismembered her already deceased body when they moved in, the I-Team first reported Wednesday. Police discovered 82-year-old Lucille Payne's remains in her backyard on Shorebreeze Drive in April. Payne is listed as a homeowner for the property near Lake Mead and Rampart Boulevards in the Northwest Valley. Records show she purchased the home in 1999. Investigators tell the I-Team they believe Payne died in the home in the summer of 2018. Because she lived alone and had no close relatives, Payne's body sat in a chair until squatters discovered it sometime earlier this year. The squatters then decided to cut up her mummified body and bury it in the backyard. I guess maybe cutting up the mummified body would be easier because you probably don't have, you know, everything's already kind of dried out. After finding her, the decision was made between several people that they're going to dismember her body and bury her in, basically drain her finances and sell off her belongings fraudulently, Metro Homicide Lieutenant Ray Spencer said. Neighbors told 8 News Now that the home apparently was empty for years. Police said Payne had set her bills on auto pay, raising no red flags. A tip then police to the home in April. She was not buried very deeply, and officers started to move the dirt and found her arm inside a very shallow grave in the backyard. And they show the picture of the grave with no body in it. But yeah, it's pretty shallow. Initially, police suspected Payne had been murdered, but evidence later showed Payne had been deceased for several years before the April discovery. Next door neighbors were able to confirm to us that they had heard digging over the previous couple of weeks, Spencer said. Over the course of several weeks, the squatters sold Payne's car. In addition to charges for selling items that did not belong to them, the squatters faced charges of improper burial. Payne's estate is now selling the home. An Amazon package addressed to a man with a May shipping date was at the property's front door when the I-Team visited on Wednesday. A photo of her was unavailable as of Wednesday, a lawyer said for the estate. There's been so much work to do to make sure we uncovered every potential possibility that it occurred, Spencer said. Metro has not released the suspects' names. This summer, Clark County Coroner's Office said Payne had died from the blunt force trauma and sharp force injuries. The office also ruled her death a homicide. Payne's cause and manner of death have since been changed to undetermined. So there you go. They're creative, you know. Hey, look, a mummified woman sitting in the rocking chair. The cat's eating her spleen. Let's take over this place and sell her car.
Why do they call it squatters? I think of people using the restroom.
I know. I don't know what the, like, and I always picture like when you think of like looking at an abandoned house and my biggest fear is like squatters. If I go into some place, it's abandoned. But in my mind, I also picture I'm going to walk into the place and they're all like kind of sitting in the squatting position. Like you walk into, they're all just like kind of like weirdly sitting down, but not quite like, oh, it's squatters.
Everything needs to be named. There needs to be a title. Can't it just be people? Like people are living there. People took it over. People. I don't know. I don't know what defines a squatter. Is it similar to a resident of a house or a tenant of a rental property?
Like resident trespasser would probably be.
Or trespassers. There you go. Yeah. Like trespasser. There's trespassers in this house that a woman died, and then the trespassers sold the deceased woman's car.
But I think you need something that implies that they've taken up residence, because trespassing just kind of means you went there and you left. So I'd say resident trespasser. That means you've taken up residence as a trespasser.
Sure.
Although, but probably confusing. Squatter just ends up getting it done. I don't know why that.
Squatter's rights.
There is such a thing. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And there is like actually a law in some states where if you squatted in a home for X amount of years and no one has caught you and nobody has taken it up, you can claim that you own the property and get it put in your name.
After paying the homeowners association fees, taxes, and other costs associated with the property after a set period of time, can legally obtain ownership.
Isn't that crazy? So you have to do something illegal to legally obtain the ownership.
Man, this real estate game is crazy. Let's just find an abandoned home or kill someone, live here long enough, pay the fees, and we got ourselves a deal.
How that's a thing, I don't know. But I there's many cities where I bet that's going on, like Detroit and other places that have an ungodly amount of abandoned properties that no one can really keep up with. But that's a thing.
So sad stuff for, and you'd think that the family of this deceased woman, it's sad for them, but a lot of time had gone by when this person passed away. Nobody stopped by with a fruit basket or to check on her. So really, do you feel bad for the family? Is there a family?
Apparently not. It's sad all around. The Gabby Petito case still obviously going on, and now Brian Landry's dead. But several questions still kind of remain about the case as everything, you know, keeps moving and more things are found. Cause of death being one of them, following a weeks-long search throughout the area and nearby Carlton Reserve for Brian. The fugitive bones were found inside the alligator-infested park, but questions still remain on how he died. The location where Brian's remains were eventually found had previously been submerged in 4 feet of storm waters for more than a month. The advanced state of decomposition that his remains were found in means that they were likely feasted on by gators and other local wildlife, as 5 weeks wouldn't be long enough for a body to decompose that much naturally, experts told The Sun. A cause, matter, and date of death have not yet been determined for Brian after an autopsy came back inconclusive last month. His remains have been given to a forensic anthropologist to be inspected, and his cause of death is expected to be determined by the end of November. It's unknown if Brian's cause of death will be released to the public. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder, too, what do you think? He killed himself and then just kind of fell into the waters? Or do you think he just started walking into the waters with a big giant sign saying, "Gators, come eat me"?
I would suspect that I have absolutely no idea. With that being said,
that'd be a real gruesome way to end it. Like,
yeah,
consciously. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, really, to be able to connect the dots and have any true understanding of what he did, you would have to be maybe as screwed up as he currently was in that state. If I had a guess, if you're trying to take your own life, do you really walk into water? I mean, wouldn't you just,
yeah,
go to a pawn shop, find a gun and end it?
And there's no talk of like, you know, a bullet or anything in the autopsy report.
And from what I gather, his remains are so you're not going to be able to have the medical examiner say, well, he died because of this.
Yeah, I mean, unless
you're and I'm not sure if they can, you know, run a toxicology report, see if there was any drugs in his system or it's going to be, quite honestly, I think it's going to be an educated guess of how he died.
It's messed up because the two people who know the answers to the question of what exactly happened to Gabby, how that happened, why that happened, and then what happened to him are both gone. So no one's ever really going to know. And that it sucks, you know, for the family to, not that it's, you know, you want to know the gruesome details of how your daughter was murdered, but I think just having some answers like, this is what happened. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in that place, so I couldn't, you know, speak to it, but I would think just having that would be, you know, somewhat of a help with closure or something.
You know, there's a panel of producers right now putting a script together that answers that, and then it will be released based on a true story. And the big asterisk will be, nobody really knows how they died, so we made it up.
Yeah. It'll be,
but you'll watch it.
It'll be made 50 different ways. There'll be the Lifetime version of it. There'll be the Hallmark version of it, where it's where they actually transport it into a Christmas love story that turns to murder, and starring Candace Cameron Brulé or whatever her name is now, and
that guy from Charles in Charge, not Scott Baio,
and the miraculous return of Lori Loughlin. It'll be great. It will be great. The mystery notebook, a backpack and notebook belonging to Brian, were found near police, found by police near human remains in the park near the Carlton Reserve that were later confirmed to be from the 23-year-old from Brian. The discovery was made shortly after Brian's dad, Chris Laundrie, found a white plastic bag containing some of his son's items in a patch of bushes next to a trail. Brian was pictured with notebooks while traveling with Gabby. The contents inside the notebook are not yet known, but internet sleuths appear convinced the 23-year-old's journal will provide clues into his fiancée's disappearance and death. Nima Rami, the former assistant U.S. attorney and the current president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, told The Sun, "The notebook and bag will be crucial evidence in helping solve Gabby's murder." Law enforcement found a backpack and notebook. It's key evidence. It's certainly likely that these human remains they found belong to Brian Laundrie, unless he was trying to plant evidence next to someone else's remains to throw law enforcement off his tracks. If it's Brian Laundrie's remains, one of two things happened. He was either killed by an animal or a person, or he killed himself. If he killed himself, it's much more likely that he wrote something in the notebook about Gabby. Yeah, that would be interesting. Meanwhile, criminologist Casey Jordan sent a notebook pointed to the possibility of a suicide note. It's not known what's inside the notebook, but it hasn't stopped online sleuths from speculating. So they found a notebook, but nobody knows what the hell's in it. And everybody's like, maybe there's a note. Maybe he made anime drawings of himself killing her. Maybe it's just stick figures. But who the fuck knows what's in this? It could just be nothing. There could be absolutely nothing in that notebook. You know, but so I don't know what the speculating is like, thinking that you're going to get much out of it. I don't know.
We obsess and then obsess upon the obsession.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
I'm thinking, you know, my guess on all of this, for what it's worth, is he killed her. It probably was not premeditated. It probably was in the heat of some sort of argument, and he went too far with his anger and was like, oh fuck, I just killed her. Probably regretted it, but had no idea what to do. I don't know that you end up going and journaling about that. Maybe he wrote a note. Maybe he didn't. Who knows? I mean, the fact that he ended up wandering to a swamp to be eaten by alligators, seemingly with intent. I don't know that you're necessarily the guy that's going to, you know, write a bunch of notes about that. I think you're maybe just so distraught. You're like, I'm going to go fucking get eaten by alligators. Because
and you're trying to make sense of something that clearly doesn't make sense in that state of mind that he was at.
Yeah.
Pretend that you aren't necessarily someone who's okay with taking someone else's life. And then you have to live the daily life of having taken someone's life.
Yeah.
You're maybe not the most stable, wondering what to do, trying to rid yourself of that guilt, trying to, who knows? I mean, again, we think and try to digest and process it how we would handle it. No clue. He could feel, again, so much guilt. I mean, to think that he came home, told his parents, or put his parents in some situation, then he wanted to rid his parents of the cover-up. So then he may have thought, okay, well, if I die, then they're going to call the investigation. There's really going to be no furthering of it. My parents will then be able to go back to their lives. So much plays into it. And it may be, as you said, they were in an argument, heat of the moment, killed her. That same situation could have occurred of how he died.
Yeah.
It may not have been premeditated. It may have been this, that, or the other, and he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think this whole thing was just absolutely horrible. I don't know that this was a premeditated murder. It certainly he had issues and was abusive. And my guess is, you know, his abuse went too far and he did it. Not an excuse by any fucking stretch of the imagination. But I think he, you know, he's young, he's dumb, and he strangled her in anger. And, you know, had he been alive still, certainly should have gone away to jail for that for the rest of his life. But I'm guessing just kind of by the actions that he probably felt a tremendous guilt about what happened, knew that, you know, he was out of control and saw no other way of living. And that's why he found some way of ending it. But it is interesting, though. There's so many weird parts to this where the dad found the bag in the swamp. I mean, there's fucking investigators wandering around this area, including Dog the Bounty Hunter, for fucking like a month. And they didn't find shit other than other bodies. And suddenly the dad just walks down the trail and, hey, I found his notebook. That to me seems a little weird. That almost, I don't know. That's just like, what?
Are they doing anything further with the parents?
Not right now, as far as I know. But I'm sure there's more pieces to put together. The camping trip is another thing. It is unknown why the Landry family went on a camping trip shortly after Brian returned home without his fiance. The Landrys apparently went camping when their son returned with the van and without Gabby. But their family attorney, Stephen Bertello, told the News Nation Now's Brian Enton he didn't know if Brian's sister Cassie was with her parents and brother on the trip. Pinellas County records revealed that Landry's mom, Roberta, checked into a campsite at the park from September 6th to the 8th, days before Gabby was reported missing by her family on the 11th. I talked to the police the second they called, Cassie told ABC. I called them right back. They were in Orlando on vacation with my kids at Disney, and we came back to this. So the sister likely was not involved in the camping trip, but why the fuck did mom and dad and Brian go camping? That's just, it's like, hey, you're back. You're missing your fiance. No idea where she's at. Hey, let's go on a trip. Like, what the fuck?
What's wrong with that?
What the hell? I don't know. I think there's something to do with that trip that's involved in this case. I don't know what. Lots of text ignores. It's unknown why the Landrys didn't return Gabby's mom's text as she desperately wanted to find her daughter. Nicole Schmidt says she's tried to communicate with Chris and Roberta Landry after she lost contact with Gabby in late August. Gabby last spoke to the family August 25th as she and her fiance reached Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. During an interview with CBS's Dr. Phil, Nicole claimed Brian's parents ignored the calls and texts, leaving her infuriated. It's not known if the Landrys deliberately ignored the texts and calls. I don't think this is a situation where you're like, oh, I just didn't see it. Additionally, Brian's parents, Chris and Roberta, have been accused of suspicious behavior after they changed the timeline of their son's disappearance and refused to make a public plea for him to turn himself in. Brian's parents reported him missing on September 17th after they claimed he told them he was going to take a hike in the Carlton Reserve. In the initial missing persons report, the couple said the last time they saw their son was September 14th. However, they later changed their tune to say that Brian left for his trip on September 13th. I think it's a question with them of what did they know and when did they know it?
And I don't ever think we will find out that information.
That part, I think we can. I think that part, we're going to find some answers there. I think there's ways of tracing some shit back and getting some sort of information here. And then I think we should take a look at charging them for if indeed they knew a lot and they were like concealing it to, you know, cover for their son.
What justice is there in that?
Well, it's people who really put that other family through torture by not communicating. I think had they said something, you know, even just we don't know what's going on, but we're concerned. That's if you're aware of that and you're not going to say and you're going to torture this other family, fuck you. I mean, I think that the justice is there's consequences to your actions.
So you, as someone that lost their daughter, you now want to go through this, and the person that took her life is no longer living. You want this to continue and I have to go through years civil.
Yeah. I don't know that I go after for anything financially. I would let the legal system do it is what I would do. I would not really, I don't think I would sue for anything civilly, but I would hope the criminal justice system would take a look at this and the state would prosecute the family and go, you knew this shit, this is not okay, and let them do most of it. Maybe you have to show up as a witness here or there, but you don't necessarily have to have an attorney and sit there and go to court day after day. I think you let the system, you know, do what it's going to do. That's what I would do if I was in that situation, I think.
I would.
You know, I wouldn't go after them civilly. I just, like, I wouldn't want to go through that.
I would try to focus on all the positive in my life. The guy's dead. Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to write that off, move along, heal from this. I don't want to be reminded having... Yeah. Random calls from the local sheriff department. Hey, we need you to come down. No, thank you. I'm good.
I mean, I don't know that. The thing is, I don't think they have a say in the matter. That's, you know, that's the thing. If the state's going to prosecute, they'll prosecute. But I don't think the Gabby's parents really have a choice in what they do. But they do have a choice in how involved they want to be as they try to move forward in their lives. Many are also left to wonder what went wrong in Gabby and Brian's relationship as the pair seemed happy on social media. Everyone seems happy on social media. However, there are people sometimes where it's just like, are you okay? Like, really, the shit you're posting is disturbing. However, Brian's Pinterest reveals doomed plans with his murdered fiance Gabby from a van life trip to wedding plans on the road. The couple fantasized about their dream marriage plans and even thought about having a baby before their cross-country adventure ended in tragedy. Just weeks before the shocking deaths, Moab police body cam footage captured Gabby crying and complaining about her mental health and being instructed to spend the night apart from Brian in the van, which that was fucked up to.
Did you ever meet someone? It could be a coworker. Really anyone, and you kind of get to know them a little bit and their personality and such, and then you come across their social media, specifically like Instagram. Sure. You think to yourself, holy shit, like this is, and I'm not insinuating that it's someone that you meet that is anything negative. Yeah. You just meet a real human, and maybe even you work together for a few months, mm-hmm. and you actually start to get to truly know them. Like they're a, they could be a friend. Sure. But then you see the social media and it's all these smoke and mirrors. I would compare it to, you know, somebody and then you go see them at a musical or at a play. Uh-huh. They have all the makeup on and everything is so exaggerated. And you think to yourself, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and this is people compare themselves, their normal real life human selves, to this production that is an Instagram feed. Yeah. And if that doesn't resonate to people of holy fuck, I probably shouldn't compare this to that. I want to be an advocate for those who can't have that light bulb go off.
Yeah.
Because the road could get very slippery, very quick, depressed, etc.
Oh, completely. I mean, it's...
Hello, this is not real life.
To be like, well, social media, everything looked good. Like, yeah, and...
Of course it does. It's a production.
Yeah.
They're called filters.
It is. It's almost like comparing the character that someone plays in a movie to who they are in real life. It's like, well, in the movie, they were like that. That's not them.
Yeah.
It's a character.
It's just another layer. If you actually meet the person prior to seeing their, it's one thing, you know, to just, which I can understand if you don't meet said person and you just look on social media, it may be a little bit more difficult to differentiate. But if you've met the person and you know enough about them and you've had conversations with them, and then it's just kind of blows your mind. You're like, holy fuck, this is some scary shit.
And it can be, yeah, it can be good or bad, you know, honestly, depending on what you find. But sometimes, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to me what people share. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, and then what's the source of where you're getting this? And like, why are you following this? Like, what?
And to tie it to this case, I mean, what they posted, they were, you know, happy, go lucky, wanderlust. So not to give anyone excuses of how could you not see what was happening here when the police pulled him over and he was clearly manipulative and she was crying. Yeah, something should have gone down there. But when you see this feed and these continuous updates, even the most harmonious couple, when you're living in a freaking van, you're going to have disagreements. Uh-huh. Like, stop fucking chewing with your mouth open. I told you one more time, no more Cheez-Its for you.
Yeah.
Just didn't think that he was going to kill the girl.
Yeah, that's usually not how those things end, but with the right ingredients, that's how things end. Huh. It's an interesting case. With Brian being dead, I don't know how much more information we're going to get. I think the focus, like I said, is going to go to the parents of Brian and go, what did you know and when did you know it? And because people want to seek some form of justice. And when the key focus people are no longer with us, and we're not going to get justice out of them or for them, then you go to the next tier down. And if they were involved, if they were acting suspicious or this or that, then you want to take a look at that. Maybe there's absolutely nothing. Maybe it is just the attorney that said, don't talk to anybody, and they listened. I don't know. But it just feels like there's something more. I don't know. I could be completely wrong, and they're going through their own hell, I'm sure. But some of it, you have to wonder how much of it is self-inflicted by poor choices or handling of the information they had when they had it.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful Thanksgiving and Christmas for the Landry family.
Jesus. That would be the disturbing part, is if there's like pictures of them at the Sizzler having a wonderful, bountiful Thanksgiving, and they're like full of joy and cheer and like celebrating. It's like, what the fuck? Your son just died, and his girlfriend, they're like, oh, have a holly jolly Christmas. I don't know. It's going to be tough for anybody to go through that shit. But I don't know. It's all about the decisions that were made, and how were they made? When were they made? Why were they made? And they'll likely try and uncover more of that. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side Of. Thank you guys for listening. Press subscribe, whatever platform you are listening to us on. We greatly appreciate that. And if you like the show, you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com, or the Patreon app. Search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.